And we have Rabbi Galperin on the phone.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am doing good, thank God.
It's good to hear.
Yes, all good. I want to, before we start, I want to apologize just in case any of the listeners are going to hear my son in the background, but he's home with me. I'm the lucky father, as he's not feeling too well. So we'll still try and do the interview because we wouldn't want to miss it, but hopefully everyone will bear with me. My son might have a lot to say, but...
Rabbi, we will forgive you this time.
Okay, hopefully it won't happen again.
Don't worry.
So we talk about this week's Torah portion is Parshat Kitisa, which is a phenomenal Torah portion. It talks about the half a shekel, half a coin that every single person has to give, as well as it talks about one of the gravest sins in the Jewish history of the golden calf fiasco.
Egel Azav,
correct. And how it all started was that Moses went up to the mountain to go and receive the tablets from God. And when Moses ascended the mountain, he told the Jewish people, after 40 days, in the first 6 hours of the day, I shall return. And they thought that the day of his ascent should be counted as one of the 40, which really he meant 40 full 24-hour days. So, in other words, they shouldn't have really counted that day of his actual ascent. And that really is what caused their whole downfall and issue, was because they miscalculated and misjudged that day, saying that, well, he's supposed to really come down today, but really he didn't come down today, because he really wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
So they really misjudged that day of what what he did. And now the Satan, the Satan, came to them and showed them and said, hey, look, all the Jews, look what I'm going to show you. Where's Moses, your leader? He's not even here. He died. And he even put on a picture in the clouds of Moses' coffin. And they all came to Aaron and they told Aaron, you know, you need to help us. We need to build something. Moses is not here, and we need to be able to replicate something. And Aaron tried to busy them. He got them to all go and get their gold and their silver and try to postpone it as much as he could, and jewelry. And then when they came back so fast, they said, well, let's build it together. Let's build it now. And he said, no, let me build it by myself, trying to prolong even more time and hoping that God will see this and Moses will come down and see that this is not what's supposed to be going on. And it says that obviously that didn't happen. So the real question is how could the Jews have stumbled so low only 40 days after receiving the Torah? You know, they received the Torah, Mount Sinai, and then 40 days after, Moses went up to receive the tablets. So how is it possible that the Jews went so low in 40 days just receiving the Torah and now to doing idol worship? And it's brought down in the Gemara, in the Talmud, that whoever is greater than his fellow, his evil inclination is greater than his fellows as well. And and we see that they were on such a high level, that they were even on a higher level, that they regained, that they were even more on the level of Adam before he sinned. And the test of the golden calf was so high that it was even higher than the sin that Adam had when he ate from the tree of knowledge. And if you think about it, there's really an incredible lesson of the power of teshuvah, of returning. That no matter how far we stray, we can always come back home. Because there are really four definitions in sin, in the word of sin.
Yeah.
Number one, you have, according to wisdom, sin is a harmful deed. Okay? According to prophecy, it is death. Torah sees it as a folly, that something crazy entered your head and this is why you did it. But God sees it differently. God sees it as an opportunity. Sin is as the opportunity for return. And teshuvah is a process that in its ultimate form empowers us not only to transcend our failings, but to also redeem them. To literally travel back in time and redefine the essential nature of the past deed. Transforming it from evil to good. And so, the question still remains, is what led the people of Israel to worship an icon of gold? You know, as they were seeking a replacement for Moses, why did they not just appoint another leader? But no, they go and they, not only do they want another leader, but they want something else to stand in its place. And the Hasidic teachings explain that Moses was more than a leader to the people of Israel. He was a living model of the divine presence. And the fact that he was a living model of the divine presence, they realized that they needed a lot more. As the Torah says, that Moses was an Ish Elokim, a man of God, a human being who so completely conformed to the divine will. Everything that he had, he gave up everything to serve God. So with Moses' disappearance, the people of Israel felt the need for a visual, tactical exemplar to be able to really see something that not only can they see and talk to, but something that they can really feel that is going to take them, an icon of gold. And it's interesting, because if we see later on, when they build the tabernacle, the Mishkan, what was it made out of? It was made out of the gold. It was made out of the same things that they used to make the golden calf.
Yeah.
So if it's wrong then, how could they do it now? But it's very interesting because, first of all, the building of the Mishkan Tabernacle was the atonement for the sin that they did in the golden calf, as well as is a very big difference. If you go and look at the Kruvin, the cherubs that were on top of the Mishkan, that were gold faces, made out of gold faces, and what happened was we see that was made out of gold. And so if it was made out of gold, then there must be something good about gold. That, you know, when Israel was doing good things, God, the faces were looking at each other. And it showed that God was happy. When Israel wasn't doing such good things, the faces of the on top of the Mishkan, on top of the tabernacle, were facing the backs of each other. And it's a big difference in regard to how it was made. The Kruvim were made by the will of God. God expressed to the Jews exactly how to make it. He told him exactly why to make it, and because of that, he was able to, even if they made it out of gold, which was something, a materialistic thing, which could be used for no good, but it was through the divine will of what God wanted them to make, and so therefore when they made it, it was pure, it was holy.
Yeah.
But when they made the sin of the golden calf, the reason why they made it was to replace Moses, to replace the idea that we're going to have everything in the belief of God, that something material can also be part of the divine. And that's where they made that mistake. And so that's why there was such a grave sin. Because they decided on their own to say, well, what can we do to replicate who Moses was? And to show that even in the divine, in the materialistic world, certain material things can still have spirituality. So sometimes when we think in life that we know better and we're going to decide to do something different, we got to think twice. Because if it's a decree from God that he wants us to do something, to elevate something physically into a spiritual sense, we got to do it. That's a beautiful thing. We're going to literally elevate it. But if we decide we want to elevate something physical to something that's not spiritual. You know, it's the same thing, for example, you know, I'm going to make a blessing on a good piece of steak, and, you know, I'm allowed to eat the steak, and therefore I make the blessing, and I'm going to elevate it to a spiritually higher level. Great. But then let me say, you know what? I want to eat a great piece of pork, but I'm going to make the blessing. So if I make the blessing, I'm going to spiritually bring it to a higher level. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Because God hasn't just given us that ability to be able to do that. So that's something that we can really learn in the lessons of our lives, is that, you know, our basis blueprint and foundation of everything that we have is Torah. And on that is we realize and we know how we're supposed to grow and how we're supposed to become better and closer to God.
That's nice. And Rabbi, Purim is approaching us.
Purim is less than a month, like just about a month away. It's around the corner.
Yeah.
And this year's theme, as we started talking about it last week, is Purim in Africa. In the Africa, in the African jungle, all together. And it's going to be March 16th on Sunday at the JCC in the gym. We're going to have a full drum circle. So that's going to be beautiful entertainment for adults, for kids, seniors, young babies. Everyone's going to get their own drums.
Ooh.
We're going to do it all together. And we're going to be with an instructor. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And obviously, we're going to have great food, music, and it's going to be a Purim to remember.
Okay, so if we need any more instructions, you probably will give us at the next shows.
Absolutely.
And we will get ready.
That's right. We're looking forward to it.
Very good. So I wanted to thank you for your time and for the parsha today.
No, thank you, and we look forward to next week.
And to wish refuah shlema to your youngest one.
Thank you.
And he has to be ready for the drums on Purim.
He'll be. Hell yeah.
Good.
All
thank
right.
You, Rabbi.
Be well. Bye-bye.